Narrative Frameworks, 88. Self-interest. We're all self-interested. But the definition of the self is fundamentally different for each one of us. What is the self? Narrow or broad focus? Body-mind? Or world, life, life-world? The bigger picture sees the interconnectedness and interreliance of life. The bigger picture, the wider view. Where are the lines of self-interest drawn here, when the individual entities that exist see that they are part of a wider web of existence and a wider whole of existence, an interconnected web in the relative body-mind sense, one body-mind connected to another body-mind, or one being connected to another being and other beings, and one in the sense of it being one spiritual essence of being. Self-interest cannot be so rigidly delineated when we see the wholeness of life. Cannot be so so-called selfish. Serving yourself is serving life. When you know that self and life are the same one whole, the wholeness beyond personal definitions, the mystery of consciousness, the knowing of the unknown. Without seeing the wholeness of life, often there is conflict, because there is division. And division, although it can lead to cooperation, that cooperation does often not happen unless there is a understanding of broader purpose, and that broader purpose is the broader life. So often there's conflict when life or self are reduced to localizations, the sense of identity, rather than the whole picture. Conflict comes from limitation. Without limitation, there is no conflict. In boundlessness, what can conflict with what else? There's just this rising and falling, and this dance without identification with parts of the play. Because the whole play is seen, and it is seen that this is the greatest truth. So how can the play of the parts be so momentously believable when we know the one moment of life? When we know the one essence of life, when we know the one truth of life, that is all that is. And the operation of the apparently separate, individualized forms is not an operation of those forms in themselves, and so it does not end with the success or failure of those particular forms. It ends with the broader arena of which those forms are a part. All begins and ends and exists now in this broader arena. Until this is seen, conflict exists, and not just from different local viewpoints, different individualized viewpoints of duality and duality, an aspect of the duality and another aspect of duality. But conflict occurs between a sense of the non-dual and a sense of the dualistic. There is a conflict between a sense of the whole and a sense of the individualized local expression of the whole. Conflict between the wholeness of consciousness and the individualized expression of consciousness. This conflict exists until we have seen and deeply know and trust the wholeness of life. So there can be a conflict, one duality against another aspect of the duality. Like a boxing match. Or there can be a conflict, the non-dual and the dualistic. The unity and the separation. Apparently vying for different games, for different viewpoints, for different world views. Non-duality saying it's just one. Duality saying, hang on a minute, there are many separate parts and each separate part is out for itself. So even though it's all one, it's a case of seeing, knowing where you're seeing from. Where is your self-interest? This depends on where you place yourself, on what you identify with as yourself, the broader reality or the limited form. Or perhaps the wholeness of those two united, integrated. But then there is no separation, no conflict. And the wholeness and the separate part are the same life energy. The broader picture is established. And then there is just life and life and life. And life and life and life. Life doing this, life doing something that, something else. And life as a whole, containing all the possibility. Of itself, to know itself.